Calling all CNAs who are passionate about making a difference. Sinners Healthcare is seeking dedicated individuals like you to join our amazing team. Imagine a place where your skills are valued, your growth is nurtured, and your impact is felt daily. Welcome to Sinners Healthcare. If you're ready to take your CNA career to the next level, step into the spotlight with Sinners Healthcare. Visit sinnershealthcare.com/careers today and take your career from surviving to thriving. Let's rock the world of healthcare together.
Major phone carriers make you sign contracts with rigid data plans to trap you into a kind of forced phonogamy. Sounds pretty insecure if you ask me. At Consumer Cellular, we believe in a more consensual and healthy form of phonogamy, free of contracts and more flexible to your data needs. This way, you stick around not because we force you to with contracts and fees, but because you love our phone plans. Like, ardently love our phone plans. Phonogamously. Consumer Cellular. When freedom calls, we're here to answer. Call us at 1-888-FREEDOM.
This is Smarter Collaboration. With the scale and complexity of challenges facing business and society today, knowing how to collaborate, I mean really how to collaborate, is one of the most important skills of our time. This podcast and YouTube series profiles smarter collaborations from a variety of fields. In our quest to show the combined wisdom of diverse skilled people brought together for breakthrough outcome. Our host is Dr. Heidi Gardner, best-selling author of Smarter Collaboration, Harvard Scholar, and named by Thinkers 50 as the next generation guru. Research-backed with 25 years in this field, Heidi takes you on an adventure with collaborators around the world from a variety of industries. Today's show is with Hall of Fame songwriters Kent Blazey and Leslie Satcher. These two forward-thinking collaborators are currently working on a new song for Reba McEntire and give you an insider's view on collaborative songwriting. Leslie is a native of Paris, Texas, and has written some of the greatest songs for the most popular singers like George Strait. Listen to Troubadour.
I was a young troubadour when I wrote in on a song. And I'll be an old troubadour when I'm gone.
Leslie has penned best-selling hits for Pam Tillis, with I Said a Prayer, Martina McBride, God-Fearing Woman, and for Vince Gill, and of course, Willie Nelson. Leslie is one of the most gifted writers who gets better with age. Consider the lyrics from Love Me Like a Tin Roof, Love's a Midnight Rain. And with 7 number one hits to his credit, Kent Blazey, native of Woodstock, New York, raised in Lexington, Kentucky, has collaborated with Garth Brooks, writing If Tomorrow Never Comes, Garth's first big hit.
If tomorrow never comes, will she know how much I loved her?
He also wrote breakthrough singles for Diamond Rio, That's What I Get for Loving You, Patti Loveless, Can't Get Enough, and Gary Morris, Headed for a Heartache, and many others. His latest album, From the Beatles to the Bluebird, are 11 tracks inspired by the Beatles, including the song February 9th, 1964. Now here's our host, Dr. Heidi Gardner, with legendary songwriters Kent Blazey and Leslie Satcher. It's Smarter Collaboration.
Welcome back to Smarter Collaboration. I'm Dr. Heidi Gardner, and I'm so excited about today's guests. They are truly smarter collaborators. Hall of Fame country and Western songwriters, Kent Blazey and Leslie Satcher. And today we're talking to these two smart collaborators whose connectedness has led to incredible creativity. You know, for the last decade or more at Harvard, I've been researching what we call smarter collaboration. I think about it as the way different people come together to do work that's more creative, more interesting, higher quality than any of them could do on their own. And I have to say, it's what we're aiming for today. You know, we've got these famous folks like you in the songwriting world, and we've got an egghead like me from Harvard. And I suspect we're going to do something together that we wouldn't be able to do if it were just us on our own. But we'd love to hear about you. What is it that working together brings that neither of you could do on your own? Leslie, you want to get us started?
Well, I would say when I first started working with Kent, and it's always been this way, I have the freedom to lay out any idea in front of Kent. and not be, and not hold back and think, you know, I don't edit when I write with Kent. I just go, how about this or this or this? And you can only do that when you trust someone or you trust your co-writer. Because a lot of times you will get in a situation where you'll edit what you even say to your co-writer, but not with Kent. And because of that, and because he's always so gracious to let me just get out on a limb, and then he gives me the, you know, the strength to get out on the wind, it causes us to have these really original sounding songs that people have responded to for years and recorded, thank goodness, and love. And that's my first thought when you said that. I never edit when I'm working with Kent.
Kent, what about you?
Well, Leslie, you're talking about writing on your own. She's such an incredible writer on her own. The reason I tracked her down is she had an album on Warner Brothers Records, and the first song was a Box of Love Letters from Old Mexico. And it's probably one of the best songs I've ever heard in my life. And I just went, who is this? You know, and she already had a buzz in town. So I asked her if we could write together. And it is that thing where she's just, I like to work from titles. She don't like to work from titles usually. She's just, she comes in with her guitar and okay, let's go. And and so I do let her get out on the limb, because then she usually flies off when she's on the limb, you know, and she takes me places that I would never go by myself. She's such a musical genius in what comes out of her melodies that it's like, I wouldn't have come up with that. But the great thing is, when you're collaborating with somebody like Leslie or some of these other great writers, when you are back there writing by yourself, the trick that I use sometimes is, what would Leslie do here?
Oh, I do the same thing.
Well, there you go. And it just gives you a different perspective, because you've been so fortunate to write with her, that when you're by yourself, you can take what you've learned from her into your own collaboration with yourself.
Wow. That is powerful. So Leslie, you brought up the T word, trust. I mean, did you trust each other right off the bat? How did that work?
Oh, the first day. Kent is so open, and he's such a positive person. And in a town where negativity can rule, and it can be a big part of, you know, the as my husband calls it, the business of music instead of music business. When you come in and sit down with Kent, first of all, you're in a beautiful setting. His home is up on this cliff, looks out all over Nashville. So you feel like you're in the clouds to begin with. And then he just has this really positive thing that he lays out. And we've even co-written with some other people, so like writers, younger writers, other writers. And they'll go off down the negative road, and Kent always steers it back. And that has been, to me, it's one of the main threads through our relationship and through our songs, the positivity that Kent brings.
Yeah, that positive energy makes such a difference. You know, I think it was back in 2016 in January, I made a New Year's resolution, which is not something I would normally do, because, you know, by the third week of January, I've, you know, dropped my diet or whatever else it is. But this one I have stuck to and renewed it every 7 years, which is only to work with people who give me positive energy. And so it's fascinating.
That's a good one.
Yeah, right.
Well, and, you know, that's, one of your questions was, how do we choose co-writers? And you never know how it's going to be with somebody the first time. I always laugh and say, like, it's a first date, only you probably don't kiss. But you just know people that have the chemistry that works with you. And then there's other people, like maybe it is the lack of positive energy that you get from them or whatever. But I just love to write with the people that bring that magic when we're together. And I don't care how big or how small you are or what your hits have been or not. If I don't feel that, then I really don't feel the need to keep working with them, because it's just going to be like hitting a wall. And I remember a friend in Nashville, when an artist gets a record deal, the record company or the publisher starts telling you who to write with. It doesn't matter who you wrote with to get where you are. And it's at its peak right now how they do that. But the one young guy got a record deal, and we've been writing for about 3 years, and he called me up one day and said, what do you do if you keep getting with a certain person or two, and all of a sudden your stomach starts hurting and your head starts hurting?
Yeah,
I said, I quit writing with him. He said, you can do that? I said, I can do that. I don't know if you can do that, but that's kind of how I approach things. Is, do I really love writing with this person. And is there magic there when we do, whether songs get cut or they don't, and we have fun? I mean, that's kind of what it's all about to me.
And yeah. Heidi, you know that old saying, like we just said it the other night when we watched something on TV at my house, you know that old saying, like, well, I can't get that 2 hours back. You know, when you've done something for like 2 hours and you're like, oh, I wish I hadn't have done that. Now Kent and I both, and I've learned this from Kent also about cutting loose, you know, kind of not dead weight, but just things that don't work, co-writes that don't work, even friendships that don't work, mm-hmm. you know, wish them well and move along down the road. Because we've started writing, like, we'll write with somebody, and if it doesn't work good, they'll be like, should we get back with them? And we'll be like, nope, that's 4 hours. We can't get back, you know? So we're just like, as we're getting older, it's just, time is so much more precious. I think we have to be guardians of our time, stewards of
our
time.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. You know, but thinking about positive energy, I'd hate to leave people with the impression that collaboration is always easy. Right. You know, because I encourage people to think about working intensely with somebody who's really different than them. And when you're working with somebody who brings different pieces of the puzzle together or approaches whether it's songwriting, I would imagine, or, you know, in my world, a business problem, they come at it from very, very different perspectives. You really have some clashes there. So
it's female male.
What?
Well, I mean, you know, if you're not working with two females, you're working with a male and female. There is some certain thing.
Sure.
Sorry to interrupt.
Say more.
Well, I was going to say this. There have been times Kent and I, now we've been so, you know, co-writers for so long now. There'll be times I'll be like, no, uh-uh. And he'll go, that's right. And I'll go, no, it's not. And we'll go along a little ways. And then I'll go, you know what? That actually is right, what you said. But he's kind enough to not, you know, like go, shut up. I mean, but we've had times where we've gone,
yeah,
I like that or whatever. But that comes again with friendship. Now, you know, in other co-writes, when you've done that, people get their feelings hurt or whatever. And you're kind of going, oh, okay, well, that's a person that maybe is not, their dynamic isn't right for my dynamic. Yeah. Cause I can come off bossy, Heidi. I don't know if you can.
What?
You can
I
even
didn't know
imagine
that.
That.
Golly, now
Texas
you tell
girl.
Me.
Little bossy, but Ken always, you know, he kind of likes that, so it's all right. He's a Kentucky boy, he can take it.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing of it is, Leslie, she's such a, I don't know, almost like an esoteric writer, that she can come up with all these different things, and there'll be times she'll go, that's it, and I'll go, no, that's not it, I know that's it, and so I'll keep throwing things out. And no, I don't like that. I don't like that. And finally, we'll find the common ground where a little bit of what I said changes what she said to make it work the way we want it to work. And she's all those things as far as a collaborator, you know. You just never know where she's coming from, but you're always going to get something amazing from what she does. And we fight each other back and forth, like she's saying, but it's all part of getting to the heart of what the song wants to be.
Right. We both realize that it is a polishing of a stone.
Yeah,
it's a polishing. I mean, when you polish a diamond, you have to knock the edges off. That's not exactly, you know, that's kind of scary. You start chipping on something like that, and so that's what we both realize. Now, when we're working with younger writers, they don't realize that yet, and that is where you can get a rub, because they'll come in and say, I know this is it. I know this is a write-up. And they're like 19. You're like, no, you're 19. Shut up. No, I'm just kidding. No, Heidi. Actually, I probably have said that. But anyways, that wasn't good. But Kent's always there to go, hey, let me smooth this over. So he's a good smoother.
Well, I think, you know, letting people shine through is an art, right? You know, figuring out where you complement each other. And it does take practice. And I'm curious, you know, what do you do differently now that you've had so much experience writing together than maybe when you first started together?
Can I answer first? I try to listen more.
See, what?
I wanted you to talk first.
What?
I try to listen more, Heidi. I'm trying to listen more. Because let me tell you, from day one, I was pretty sure I was here and Reba needed to go on home. You know, I thought, here I am, you know. I was just like these 19-year-old kids. But I'm trying to really listen more and listen to guys like Kent, who've actually been doing it longer than me, at a higher level than I have, longer than I have. And I'm trying to, I want to get where he is. And so I'm trying to figure out, how did he get there? Well, he gets there by hard work, A, and also listening. And I'm just trying to listen more. Kent, go ahead.
Well, the other thing that's developed over this time is a love for each other. And we tour around the country and do a lot of shows together. Mm-hmm. And there's just a chemistry there. And it shows up when we're writing. We just have been doing it together so long that love allows us to do anything, because it's like being married to somebody. Hopefully you can say whatever you want to say or whatever, and they'll give you that freedom to do it. And that's what's happened over this time period that we've been working together. It's mm-hmm. it's turned into a love and respect for what each other does, more so every time we get together.
I just got the chills. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah, but I'll say, when I am working with, you know, I have the privilege of working across a whole range of domains, whether it's cancer scientists or rocket scientists or you name it, business executives. Part of what they say is critical about engaging in collaboration is knowing to when to call it quits. You know, when is it that doing something solo is going to be better because it's more efficient, or you just need to get into your own head? How do you make that decision when you're going to do something solo and when you're going to team up with somebody?
Well, like this new record I just did, From the Beatles to the Bluebird, the songs that I wanted to write for this record, nobody really in Nashville, Tennessee would care about writing any of those songs that are on there. And, you know, none of them are going to be on country radio, that's for sure. So these people every day that get together and write in Nashville, that's what they're aiming for. And my aim is to say something that really means a lot to me and try to get it where it's universal, that means something to a lot of other people. So there wasn't anybody I was going to call and say, hey, I've got this great idea for February 9th, 1963 or whatever, because they're going to go, what are you talking about? But I knew what I wanted to do. So that's why I pretty much wrote the record by myself, because I knew exactly what I wanted to say in these songs. And, if I was doing something else, I'd be calling her, you know, but I don't want to waste her time by writing something. She's going to go, well, I don't know what I'd ever do with this. So.
Well, or I don't know the history of it. Like, I haven't walked that path that you walked. Oddly enough, Heidi, that you would ask this question. I was just discussing this very topic with my mother this morning over coffee. We have my mother with us and my sister, who's a school teacher. So we have this great dynamic at our house. We're the Waltons, right? And so my mother was sitting there and I was telling her about this new song that I've written that's about our family. And it's a funny thing about, you know, this, she had a sister that was kind of a hellcat, and she'd roll in real late at Christmas every year, and we all had to wait on her. And it was kind of, I wrote this song about it, thinking this will be a really great fun thing for me to sing. People will enjoy hearing it. I tell you, Heidi, I've gotten more response from that song. Now, it's not to pitch to anyone. No one's going to sing it. It's not their story. It's my story. But they love hearing it. Mm-hmm. And so songs, when I started writing that song, I knew it wasn't an idea to take to a co-writer, Kent, or anyone else that I write with, because they didn't know the story. It's about my family. And so, but I wanted to impart it to where other people who were listening to it could kind of go, my family was like that too. And these Texas girls came up to me at a show the other night that we did, and they were like, you were inside my head, get out of my head. You know, and so, and Kent has a song about Bob Dylan that he does all the time. And I've heard people respond to him about that. I love that Bob Dylan tune. Well, I didn't know Kent's raising on that. You know, I didn't go through that part of and I wasn't a Bob Dylan person until I got to Nashville. So there's songs, you know how to cull them easily. You realize this is meant for me to write alone. This is meant for me to take to Kent. And we need to write this for Trish Yearwood or Garth or some Blake Shelton or something, you know.
So let's talk about your recent collaboration for Reba McEntire. What was it like resurrecting a song that was, what, 15 years old? What's that backstory?
Well, that, you know, it seems like Nashville's going through this phase now where there's 6 or 8 writers on every song, which is kind of unbelievable to me. But a lot of people are starting to look at what are some of the older songs that are out there that maybe are written the way they would rather have songs be written these days, you know? And I think that was the thing with Reba, you know, she was looking to go back to maybe what she did back in her heyday. And we had these songs that she liked a couple of years ago, and she was kind enough to go back and listen again and decide that she wanted to cut the one song, and she may still cut another one from that far back. So That was just such a fun song to write that day that we wrote it, you know, and we had some other people that had cut it along the way or whatever, and people that were interested in it, because it was a very up-tempo song, and it's hard to find very up-tempo songs these days. And Leslie killed the demo, killed the vocal. Yeah, the one thing about Leslie is we've had songs that other women won't record because they can't do it as good as Leslie did it, which is pretty interesting. But that thing just kind of took on a life of its own, and here 15 years later, it's been resurrected again. So it's pretty phenomenal.
Well, and Heidi, one of the great things about writing with Ken is it's like writing with a squirrel who buries a nut somewhere and then he never forgets where they are. I can barely tell you what I wrote yesterday. I have to, you know, look back in the book and everything, but Kent never forgets a song. He never forgets a great song. He never forgets a great demo. And he's always pitching in his mind to artists. Like he'll reel through that file in his mind and go, oh, that song there, something I might not even remember. Kent will be like, how about this song? And so he's great at that. I have a few co-writer friends who are like that. Not that many though, but it's a great talent to be able to remember back songs like that.
And that kind of is part of it, because I pitched a woman who's on Broken Bow, a song that Garth and I had written 30 years ago. And she decided she was going to cut it. And so she did a little video of it, and she sent it to her manager, who knows Garth, and he sent it to Garth. And Garth said, God, I remember we had some good songs from back there. So it made me think he's cutting a new album. I pitched him another song from 30 years ago, and he ended up cutting that. So it's just,
That's awesome.
I know. It's just remembering where these things are and thinking, well, all they can say is no. And it's just kind of funny that they're coming back around now.
Goodness, you're almost collaborating with a former iteration of yourself.
Pretty much.
That's a good way to put it, Heidi. That's a good way to put it.
That's so interesting.
You're your own favorite co-writer.
Yeah, I am. I don't argue with myself much.
That makes one of us. I don't know. But you know, you said failure a moment ago. I mean, that's a pretty loaded term for a lot of people. And I have to say, I have worked with wildly successful people who get stuck because it's almost as if they've drunk their own Kool-Aid. You know, they're so successful that they're afraid to make a misstep and have some of that reality hit them. How do you deal with that?
Well, we work with a lot of artists who will be in a point in their career where, and literally they've had, you know, they've sold millions of records and now they can't get on the radio. And that's a very unusual wall for a person like that, a legend, an iconic person to hit that wall, kind of like you're talking about. And then they get in their own head and they, maybe I'm not good anymore. No. It doesn't have anything to do with them. It has to do with the industry. And so you have to think outside the box and think, okay, this is what I do and keep doing what I do. It was successful in the beginning. It'll continue to be successful. Perfect example of that is George Strait. He keeps making George Strait records. And guess what? The fans keep buying it. You know, Garth Brooks, he keeps making Garth Brooks records. People love that. They get this set fan base here. And if you keep servicing that fan base, you know, and they both venture off a little and cut a little fun record here or there. But for the most part, they stay on that same road. Well, when we encounter someone like that who's gotten in their own head and can't get out of it, and they're sitting here with us going, oh, I'm not any good. Our job then is to write a great song with them and show them, hey, look, this talent is in you. All we have to do is just dig it out and bring it up. And then you write a great song and you put it out there and see what happens. And that's been successful for us.
Yes. And the thing these days is that seems like the young people that are the artists these days are just always chasing the next new thing. And it's just kind of interesting that somebody like Reba or Garth is finding songs from back then. My funniest story with Leslie is she was working with a young artist a few years back, and she wanted to be a country female star, you know. And so Leslie asked her, well, who do you listen to? And she was naming some of the newest people on the radio. And Leslie said, have you ever heard of Merle Haggard? No. You ever heard of Keith Whitley? No. And it went on and on. And Leslie said, well, you need to go back and listen to all these people that laid the groundwork for what you're trying to do.
Right.
And so about three or four months later, she called Leslie up and said, well, I'm back to 2003. It's like
ancient history in their minds.
Quite that far. That's somebody wanting to be president, not knowing who Lincoln is. You're like, I might want to understand these people who have built this business. And I mean, it's not to say that you want to make those kind of records or you want to write those kind of songs, but you could kind of understand how they built a career, how they built this town, and why they're a part of the fabric of this town, so that you can integrate yourself into that fabric. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as I'm listening to both of you, it just reminds me all these years that I've been studying smarter collaboration. You know, I started by looking at people who had different bases of knowledge or different kinds of experts, right? You had the cancer research with the geneticist, with the mathematician, right? These are people who had basically different training or disciplines. But as I got more sophisticated in the way I thought about this and probably more human in the way I thought about it, I realized it's not just what people know, it's how they got to know that, right? What's that backstory? What's their human journey? And I think that's part of what you're saying right now. I listened to both of you talk about how your writing can only come at certain times from within yourself because you had that unique experience. And it's really so fascinating to hear at times you do that on your own because you're writing about something that's just you and you alone. But other times you bring those really different journeys together to create some joint journey. That's where the collaboration comes in.
Exactly.
And can I say, Heidi, I don't know if this man's been running through my head the whole time we've been talking, but we're talking about Ken and I are so connected. We were kind of raised the same in the country, in the South. You know, we have the same values and morals and all these things. You know, we're very similar. Well, when you start beginning to co-write with other people who are not, have nothing in common with you. At first, that was very, very scary to me. But as I've gotten on into my career here, a couple years back, I don't know if you know who Naomi Judd from the Judds was, but she was a real dear friend of mine. And she called and said, I'd like you to write with a friend of mine who's a scientist. And he's going to be here. He wants to write a country song. Would you come to my house and write with him? And I'm thinking, what am I going to write with this man? Well, when I get there, Heidi, it's Francis, I can't think of his last name, that discovered the genome. Do you know who I'm speaking about?
Yeah.
What was his last name? He wrote a big book. He discovered the genome. Francis, he worked for President Obama. I can't think of his name. Anyways, I'm thinking, what am I going to write with this guy? And when I get into her living room, I'm thinking, holy cow, this dude is so super famous and all this. And how am I even going to talk to him? Well, when we sat down, it literally was like sitting down with just another guy who wants to write a country song in town. He told me about, you know, he's in a little band of other scientists who like to get together and jam. And he started talking and we made fast friends. We wrote a song. I wrote a song with the guy who discovered the genome. I'm from Paris, Texas. I didn't even know what a genome was. I had to look it up. So that was a really eye-opening moment for me. When to be able to just go, okay, we're just laying everything on the table. These are two people who are writers. They want to collaborate. They want to write a song together. He put his stuff on the table. I put my stuff on the table and we laid out our ideas and we wrote a song. Have you ever had a super like co-write like that with someone you had absolutely nothing in common with
right.
and it came out great?
Mm-hmm.
Who was it?
It was a pop writer that wrote for Donna Summers. And I met him down in Florida when I was doing a show and he wanted to write together. And we're just coming from totally different worlds, but we were able to come up with something that it wasn't country, it was a pop song. Cause he was so good. I just kind of let him take it where he wanted to take it musically. And I helped him with the lyrics and offered some suggestions, but it was just really cool to go, well, he's from a totally different genre than I am, but here we are writing a song together.
Yeah.
Those are fascinating examples. I absolutely love it. I think there's probably a whole bunch of people listening who can think of a time when they didn't jump in with both feet, right? When, you know, Leslie, you were saying that, what am I going to do with this person? Probably meant that they turned on their heel and ran the other direction. And so it's a really, I think, helpful example for us to hear about times when you did take a bit of a risk.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, kind of people are calling us all the time to write with these new artists or new songwriters. And you know, we could be doing it twice a day if we wanted to, but you want to pick and choose, but you also never know when the next Garth Brooks is going to show up. Because when I met him, he was cleaning churches and selling boots and had no record deal. He wasn't Garth Brooks to the world or anything like that. But I took a chance because a friend of mine wanted me to take a chance with him. And so it's one of those things where it's kind of hard to say no till after you've given them a shot and see how they can do, because you never know when somebody's going to walk in the door and be the next female Leslie Satcher or Garth Brooks or Reba McEntire. So it's worth a shot if it's coming from a place where you think you can trust the people that are recommending this.
And then you also know, Heidi, when it's time to cut it loose. Yep. And you know when it's not working. And I was never brave enough to do that. I just keep taking the writing appointments and dreading it, you know, until one day Kent Blasey, he changed my life. Because there was an artist that we'd both been working with for a while. And she had just recorded her album, and she'd written a bunch of songs with Kent. And she called Kent up to write again. He goes, no. She was like, what? And he goes, well, you didn't record any of the songs that we wrote. I'd be wasting your time to write with you. We've written all these songs. It's just, we're just burning daylight. Go write with the person that you're recording their songs. And she at first was, I mean, she might still have her feelings hurt. I don't know.
Yeah, she may still have her feelings hurt.
But I was like, that is so brave and so right, because you only have a limited amount of time on this earth to do something good, do something great. And if you're not connecting with that person, it's okay to say, we don't connect. You're a nice person. I like you and everything. We can go to lunch, but we don't connect. And if they take offense to it, well, then you have to start apologizing, Heidi. But you start doing what I do, saying I'm sorry. But it is so freeing to feel that way, to be able to say, you know what, it's okay if we don't connect. Yeah. Let's just be friends. I'll introduce you to somebody you might like to write with, or whatever.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. I mean, but it does take some amount of self-confidence to be able to say that, right? You know that you've got other things going on. You're not desperate to be able to, you know, take every offer that comes along. Do you ever have self-doubt?
Yes, I do all the time. All the time, because even last week I took a writing appointment with somebody that was a Zoom write. And let me just tell you, Heidi, this person is so dang famous. I had no idea. I didn't look at the link the person who connected us had sent to me until about 2 hours before. But I always try to do a little bit of, when I don't know the person, you know, I try to do a little bit of background, you know, make sure I know who I'm talking to. When I clicked it on, I was like, oh my gosh. And I ran out to where my husband was, and I went, this is who I'm riding with in 45 minutes. And he went, oh my gosh. And this guy's a really famous screenwriter in New York. And I mean, super famous, Heidi. Like, I don't even know how I got in the room with this guy. And for a second, I was like,
Leslie Satcher.
No, I don't know. This might have a sweet friend who connected us. But for a second, I was like, what am I going to say to this guy? And he popped up on the screen. He had this giant painting behind him. I'm a painter and I'm a huge fan of art. And I started talking about his painting. And I'm like, I love that painting. And he showed me some more stuff. And then I said, hey, man, I just had this little snippet. You want to hear it? And he goes, yeah. And we were off and running. And in 3 hours, we were done. And he see you. Nice to meet you. Click, we're off. And I was like, okay. And it was like, that happened. And it was a great 3 hours of my life. Mm-hmm. And who knows what will come from it, you know? So, I mean, I was intimidated, Heidi. I was dreading it. I was like, oh no, what have I done? I've jumped off in this deep end with this guy and he's like, he's famous. And what am I going to say? Well, everybody's kind of the same when you sit down at the writing table. Everybody has a piece of paper and a pencil and a guitar or whatever. You just lay all that other stuff aside and you just sit there and go to writing, you know?
Well, for me, I don't think I have the self-doubt that you have when you start out earlier. And part of it is because every year I keep a notebook full of ideas that I've gathered all year. And so if I'm going to get together to write with somebody, I have these notebooks full of ideas, and I also can play a guitar pretty good. So
he's great.
I know I'm going to bring something into the writing appointment. If they don't like anything that I've done, then, you know, I remember one guy ran 15 or 20 ideas by him and he didn't like any of them. And I thought, well, I don't think we're going to click together, you know, because he didn't bring any in. It's like, I'm doing the work here. And you're going, nope, I don't like that. I don't like that. And what's funny is a couple of the titles that I ran by him ended up being hits for other people later on that somebody else wrote. So you never know, but you just know it didn't bring up self-doubt to me. It brought up, well, if he doesn't really care about what I'm coming up with groove-wise or lyric-wise or title-wise, then I need to find somebody that will be excited about what I bring them.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
For Kent and I both, writing is a spiritual experience. Mm-hmm. For Kent and I both. And I mean, I believe the great songs that are given to me come from God. I believe it. I think Kent feels the same way. I mean, we just, it's a spiritual experience, and we're very guarded with it now. And I'm learning to be more guarded because I learned that from Kent. It's a precious thing to have this gift to be able to write. And so it's like Kent said, you keep throwing it out, they don't connect. It doesn't mean that they're not a good person or anything. It just means we're not in the same spot they're in. So we need to quit wasting daylight and just go, okay, thank you so much. Nice to meet you. Because then you'll, you know, go down the road and Zoom with some cat in New York City and click right away. You know?
So. Yeah. I mean, I've had a similar experience, certainly not in songwriting, but I've had an experience. And sometimes I realize that I was learning that whole time. Nothing yes. tangible came out of that joint experience, but it doesn't mean it was a waste of time, because at some point in the future, either something they said or even the way they made me feel in that moment, there's something that I take away. And for me, that's, I don't know, I think I'm a hopeless optimist, right? I'm always glass half full. And even in a really lousy experience like that, I try to say, well, what can I learn from it? You know, but I think that's probably a way that we can all think about collaboration itself is, in the best of times, it results in something tangible for you. It's this hit song and it gets recorded, et cetera. But there might be other ways for us to think about what we get out of collaboration as well.
Well, the other thing you can get out of collaboration is, like you were saying, you're with somebody and it doesn't really seem like it clicks, but you go back and you look at why it didn't click and what could I have done to maybe make it click better. And the next time you're in a situation like that, you're more open to, okay, let me see if I can change the energy on this to get it to click with whoever I'm with. And that can change the whole energy in the room too when you bring that in there. But it's also like, well, I see what didn't click, and maybe I won't bring that into another room from what I was bringing in. I mean, there was one girl that I wrote with that was a great songwriter, but when I would get together and write with her, and she didn't even know she was doing this, when I would throw out the ideas on the song she was working with on, she'd go, oh, I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like that. And it finally got where I don't like her saying I don't like that, you know? And so what I took from it was, when I'm with other songwriters, I'm going to encourage them. I'm not going to sit there and say, I don't like that. I'm going to like that. Well, can we come up with something better? Can we look at it another way? So by that collaboration that really didn't work, it let me go into the next room and go, I am not going to ever do that. And like she says, I'm going to bring in a positive attitude to it. And no matter where the song's going, I'm going to try to steer it in that way and not be the one who's busting the vibe on the whole thing.
And let me add, if I might add this, Heidi, Kent and I one time had a writing appointment with a young artist who actually, she did cut one of these songs that we wrote. We didn't write it with her, but it was another song. But she had a record deal and she came in. And one of the things that sometimes about a songwriting co-write, and even I have an artist who's a fine artist, who's a painter. And she tells me this kind of happens as well when you're in a painting situation with someone. Sometimes people just need you to listen to them. Maybe there's not even a song isn't even going to be written. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're just in a moment where they're overwhelmed or they're confused or they're scared because they just got to Nashville or whatever. Sometimes they just want to talk and you just need to listen to them. And you might write down the road, but that first initial meeting turns into kind of a therapy session a little bit. Well, this young girl was with us, and she had already, I think she'd had one or two hits, but she was sitting there and she was just kind of droned out, Heidi. And we were like, is she okay? And she was just sitting there sort of wide-eyed. And finally Kent said, are you okay? And she said, oh yeah. And he said, well, why don't we stop and have a break for lunch? Cause he's famous for that. If stuff stalls, we like have a bite of lunch and everybody gets some, you know, gets their blood sugar up and we go again.
Cause songwriters are all starving. So.
Right. Well, when we broke for lunch, she goes, oh, I'm eating what?
I'm an artist diet.
I'm on an artist diet. And she pulls out, Heidi, this little teeny tiny box. I'm not even kidding. It had like three green beans in it, a couple little things, two little tiny squares of turkey. I mean, it was tiny.
And a couple carrots.
And a couple little teeny carrots. And we were like, is that all you're going to eat? She goes, that's all I can eat. And it turned out she was hungry. Now, it was a simple thing. She was hungry. Kent said, you need to eat a hot dog. You need to eat. You can't create when you're so like your body isn't even in a creative space. Right. And so she was like, I guess I didn't even think about that. That's what was wrong with her the whole time. It wasn't our ideas or that she didn't like the music. She was hungry. So we fed her some food and we wrote a song that day with her. She actually cut one of our songs, not one we wrote with her, but she did cut it. And so it was, that was kind of an eye opener for me that sometimes people are going through something and that, you know, they, I heard this old saying about everyone you know is going through something you know nothing about. That comes into play a lot in a co-writing session, Heidi, or a creative situation.
Sure.
A lot of times, because Ken is such a great listener and I try to be a listener, people will, you know, it becomes a therapy session. They'll just pour their little hearts out to us. Sometimes we write a song out of it.
Exactly.
We're terrible. We could write about that.
Yeah. Well, the great Harold Howard, one of the most famous writers in Nashville, one of his things was, I love to write with a co-writer going through a divorce because I get all the great ideas without any of the pain.
Talk about living vicariously and making the most of it.
Right.
It's terrible, but true.
I can imagine that. Well, I am so grateful that we've had this opportunity for us to connect here. You know, I am coming from a completely different world and you're giving me this gift of seeing a little bit inside of your world. It's just absolutely fascinating. I'm wondering, do you have any other insights or other questions I should have asked that I didn't along the way, something you want to impart to our listeners?
You know, for me, what it's come down to, and I think Leslie feels this way to an extent, I've come to the point where fun is the key word for me in collaboration. Are you having fun doing this? And sometimes it can be you're both down in the rabbit hole or whatever. But at the end of the day, if you can help bring fun into the situation, that's what life is supposed to be. That's what music is supposed to be. And if you can capture, even on a sad song, the fun of writing that sad song, it changes the energy of what's going on with the two people in the room. And Jack Clement, who was another famous songwriter, producer, said, if we're not having fun, we're not doing our job. And that's a little motto that I live by. And writing with her is always fun. Even if we're fighting and yipping at each other, we're still having fun. And that's the key word. And then again, it's the love we have for each other and the trust that I'll follow her anywhere. You know, I might fight her all the way, but I'm going to follow her wherever she's going.
Well, I've also found, Heidi, that, and I was just thinking of it while Kent was talking, like 30 years I've been doing this now. Kent's been doing it a little longer than me. Nothing good has come out of negative co-writing situations where you were, you know, where you just didn't click or anything. They didn't ever come back and go, you know what? I didn't really like you, but I'm going to cut that song we wrote. No. It always comes from the situation where there's everybody's in sync and you click and everybody's writing. Everybody goes out laughing. I mean, that's when you get a hit. That's when you get a successful song co-write. And those are the things that you remember and that carry on. The negative things, nothing good ever comes up. They never cut them, do they?
Right. That's
if you
true.
Have to struggle or you have to, you know, you have to force them to, you know, say the correct hook line because what they were saying didn't even make sense. Nothing ever comes of it. They'll go down the road and they'll find someone they click with and they'll cut that stuff. But the things that you really connect on, that you're all, you know, simpatico on, that's about work.
Yeah.
That's a big word.
That's a big, I didn't know you knew that big words in Texas.
I know, I learned some stuff. When you're like that, that's when things happen and they start cutting them.
Well, it's the same way I would think with anybody that's collaborating, like in your fields or different fields that are together. It's maybe not necessarily fun, but it's a respect for where the other person is coming from and be able to be open to where they're coming from because of what they've done and what you two can go together and make it an adventure of where can we take this thing that maybe I couldn't have taken it and you couldn't have taken it. And let's say we can take it together through this collaboration. And that's how it always is with us.
Adventure is a great word.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Well, let's end on that. It's been a great adventure with you. And thank you again so much for your time.
Thanks for joining us today on Smarter Collaboration. This show is produced by Success Made to Last Productions in Austin, Texas. Your show host is Dr. Heidi Gardner. And today's show was written by Dr. Gardner, Rick Tocchini, Christine Dunn, and Carla Tocchini. Executive producer is Rick Tocchini. Sound designer is Peter Lehman. And original score is from Dynascore. Post-production is led by Heather Barnes and Carla Tocchini. And our operations manager is Marie Ross. This podcast is available wherever podcasts are heard. Enjoy exclusive outtakes on our YouTube channel, and it can also be found at gardnerandco.co. Join us again for another Smarter Collaboration, where innovating together creates breakthrough results.
For everybody who believes the care they deserve should always be within reach.
For everybody who wants to be confident about insurance for the next phase in life.
For everybody who's looking for the best ways to take care of their employees and their families.
At Excellus Blue Cross Blue Shield, we're making care more accessible and affordable in more ways and for more people in our community. Because when we do that, everybody benefits. Learn more at excellusbcbs.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Walmart, Nike, Bloomingdale's, Petco, UGG, Sephora. So many more I could go on. And even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. When it comes to savvy shopping and saving money, Rakuten is a no-brainer. It's free and easy to join. That's Rakuten.com. Rakuten. Rakuten.